As someone who longs to feel God's presence in my life in a clear and direct manner, I've always been struck by the fact that God is noticeably absent from Megillat Esther. In a story that is about the near demise and heroic salvation of the Jewish people, it is not God's hand that is featured in this story as the saving force, but rather the human hands of Queen Esther and her uncle Mordechai. The rabbis in the Talmud also notice and wonder about God's presence, or rather absence, in Megillat Esther. And they ask, where in the Torah do we find an allusion to Esther? Rav Matana answers with a verse from Devarim, Vanuchi Haster Astir, and I will hide my face. Where is the story of Esther alluded to in the Torah? We see a hint to Megillat Esther in God's very absence, in God's description in the book of Devarim of a future, deliberate choice to hide God's face. The linkage of Hester to Esther's name suggests to our sages that God's absence in the Megillah is similarly deliberate. If the backdrop of Megillat Esther is God's hiddenness, what is Megillat Esther teaching us about living in a world in which, as in our own, God's presence is unseen? In Devarim, God vows to deliberately hide God's face as punishment on the day that the Jewish people go astray and worship the idols in their midst. However, even in the best of times and closest of relationships, Moshe still experiences divine hiddenness. In the book of Shemot, Moshe pleads with God, Hareni na et kvodecha, oh, let me behold your presence. Even Moshe, who was privy to intimate conversations with God, still experiences an aspect of God that is hidden from him. While God agrees to pass God's goodness before him, God maintains that Moshe still cannot see God's face. A part of God must remain hidden. Rather, God commands that Moshe should be upstanding on the rocky mountain, and God will shield Moshe with God's hand as God passes by. Rabbi Kolonimus Kalman Shapiro, who wrote from the Warsaw Ghetto, lived during a time in which many in his community experienced God as hidden at best and absent at worst. He draws on these verses in Shemot and teaches, quote, even when we experience, God forbid, God's hiddenness, Hester, and endure physical and spiritual troubles, we should not allow into our hearts the thoughts that we are really hidden, God forbid, from God, quote. He then quotes from Shemot, quote, and you will be upstanding on the rocky mountain, and teaches, quote, one can be strong and upstanding even at a time of hiddenness. This is also a commandment. God is commanding you to strengthen yourself and be upstanding, quote. God is still hidden even in this moment in which God reveals God's goodness to Moshe. And yet, God commands Moshe to stand tall on the mountain. So too in all moments of hiddenness. Rabbi Shapiro teaches that we are commanded to stand tall on the rocky mountain and take strength. In the modern Midrash, The Shepherd and the Lilies, Dini Deutsch Frankel uses Midrash to construct a post-Holocaust theology that speaks to God's apparent absence in the world. In her Midrashic readings of verses from Shir HaShirim, the longing and relationship of the two lovers becomes symbolic of Israel seeking and longing for God during and after the devastation of the Holocaust. In Shir HaShirim, the male lover, God, calls out to the female lover, Israel. O my dove in the cranny of the rocks, hidden by the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice. Israel is the dove and God is seeking her, hidden in the cranny of the rocks. Frankel, in her Midrash, flips the gender of this verse. Instead, it is Israel who is seeking God, the dove that has disappeared into the mountains, she writes. This is what the sacred community of Israel said to the Holy Blessed One, that there is none who is so hidden like a dove in the rock, but the Holy Blessed One who hides his face from Israel from the day the temple was destroyed. And Israel calls to him and says, show us your look, let us hear your voice. Quote, it is now Israel calling out to God in longing. Let us see your face. Let us hear your voice. God seems to be hidden from this world, and Israel cries out to God, where are you? In Frankel's Midrash, God responds, quote, and he answers them, Look deeply into the world I created, and you will see my appearance. Search the Torah that I gave, and you will hear my voice. Quote. Surprisingly, perhaps God is not absent at all. God is right there when Israel cries out. Rather, where is God in this world of Hester Panim, a world in which God's face is hidden? We can find God by looking at the world, a world full of people, creatures, and God's Torah. We can find God through each other. In Megillat Esther, Haman builds his case against the Jewish people, calling them Am Echad Mefuzar Umforad, a people scattered and separated. He argues that the Jewish people have kept to their own ways and failed to integrate into the Persian Empire. They are disloyal, they are a threat, and therefore, Haman argues, they should be destroyed. In her poem, One, Rivka Miriam uses this exact phrase from Megillat Esther, but instead applies it to God. It is not the Jewish people who are scattered and separated, but rather God. She writes, quote, through us, God becomes one. He that is in every place, he who is scattered and separated, here before us agitated and frightened. Behold, here, by us, he became one. Quote, God is the one who is scattered and dispersed. God is the one who seems to be missing. According to Rivka Miriam, however, though God may appear to be hidden from this world, we are the ones who together can manifest God's presence. It is through us that God becomes one. Just as God in Frankl's Midrash instructs us to look to the world and the Torah to find God, Rivka Miriam writes, if we want to find God, we just need to come together. When we are one, God is one. Thankfully, Haman got it wrong. The Jewish people may have been scattered throughout different lands, but they were not separated, at least not from each other. When Esther makes the bold demand that the Jews of Shushan come together and fast collectively for 3 days, they are quick to do so and rally by her side. Megillat Esther teaches us that in a world in which God is hidden, we draw God into this world when we come together. When we are one, God is manifest. When we are scattered and dispersed, then God too is scattered and dispersed. The past 6 months have brought with them moments of great unity of the Jewish people and also moments of painful schism. Amidst the sometimes horror of a world in which God's presence is not always apparent, may we stand tall on the mountain and together, perhaps through us, through our relationships with one another, make God one.